Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Jesus took upon Himself the shame, the humiliation, the beating, the judgment, the wrath that should have come upon us. We deserve it. We deserve judgment, but He didn't. And I look at Barabbas. He deserved judgment. He was a notorious criminal. That would be a murderer, an anarchist. I mean, of the highest order, he was a criminal. And they still said, no, let him run around our town. Let him run around our streets rather than that guy. Because we are tired of his preaching. We are tired of that message. We don't want him.
People denying Jesus is no new thing. Even during his sinless life when he was on trial, the Jews wanted no part of him and chose a criminal to be released. Today, Pastor Mark will teach listeners of the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. How despite all he's done and provided for mankind, we still often reject him. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Well, it's a strange title, but sending away party for the Savior. My wife asked me, why'd you call it that? And it's because I remember in the military, when you would leave a station, they would, you know, they move you. You don't move yourself. They tell you where you're going. And so when they move you on, they, as part of the protocol, they would have a going away party, a sending away party for you. And so you'd get together and the office, the unit, whoever would go, and they would thank you, talk about some of the great things you did. I mean, and it was a great party. Even if you didn't do a whole lot of things, even if you weren't well-liked, you still got a party. It was part of the protocol. Now, the officer may have had to have the secretary dig deep to find something that we can praise this person for, but they would find it. And they would give thanks for your service, for what you did there. And I thought about Jesus. He came and He served. He came and He was part of this world. And He did what was needed to be done. Salvation. He paid the price. He was the greatest of office workers. He was the greatest member of our unit, of this world. But how did we send Him away? Did we say, thank you? That's not what happened. Today we see what the world thought of Jesus. How He got sent away. How they treated Him. And maybe it wasn't personal, like, I just hate his person, but it was the idea who he claimed to be. A savior? See, a savior put the Jews and Gentiles, the religious leaders and the Romans, on the same level. Jesus was saying, you Jews, you religious leaders, you need a savior. Just like these scum, the Romans, that you wanted the Messiah to come and deliver you from. And I'm putting you on the same ground, the same level. And they despised that. No, we're better than them. We need someone to come in and help us take over. We're God's people. And so he was not popular at all. And so what we see is the humiliation, the humbling, the world who benefits from his service laid upon him. To get rid of him, to get him out of here. Dr. Bruce Shelley, author of Church History in Plain Language, opens that book with this line. Christianity is the only major religion to have as its central event the humiliation of its God. I mean, all the other faiths are our God, our leader is very wise. Our leader, our God, don't mess with him. He'll kill you, crush you. But our central event and our God is awesome, obviously. We fear the Lord. But our central event that we keep pointing to, that we brag about, that we boast in how much our God loves us, it points to the cross, his humiliation, which we read about today. And when you see a sentence like Christianity is the only major religion to have as its central event the humiliation of its God, it sounds like that's the end of our faith. That's the end. That's your faith? But it's actually the hinge of all of history. Because everything in the Old Testament points to the fact that a Savior is coming. Everything in the Old Testament. Everything reveals sinful men, the sinful heart of man, what men do apart from God. And it gets bad fast. We become selfish. We become lustful. We mess other people's lives up because we favor our own life. And we see it time and time and time again, pointing to the cross. And then in the New Testament, everything is looking back on the cross. Because still, the answer is the same. We, without Christ, are selfish. We're in this for us. Some of you may be here at church, not for you, but for what you can get from it. Maybe you want your kids fixed, corrected. You want your spouse fixed, corrected. Maybe you just want to get that person that you're trying to get close to. And they said, you got to go to church. And so you did. Here you are. And you have a goal. But Christ gave his life. And we look back to the need of a Savior. We realize we need one. Christ's first humiliation was that he came in the form of a man. He's God, and yet he submitted himself. He was born. He had to have someone else change his diapers. This is God who came and gave his life. But his ultimate humiliation is at the cross. He was sentenced to death by us, the creation. We sentenced him to death like a common criminal. Get out of here. We don't believe in you. We don't want you. We don't want what you have to say. And so we'll see how we treated him at his sending away party today. Those he came to save treated him worse than even one of their own. They despised him. John chapter 1, verse 10 through 11 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He's not going to force you to believe in him. He's not going to force you to put your faith in him today. He gives you the opportunity. He gives you the option. This message has preached from the time he rose. It's the message that the apostles have been passing down. He's alive. He is. And there is no other name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You can't find it in a religion. Any religion. You can't even find it in church because it's not in church. It's not in religious activity. It's in him. I heard someone once say, you know, it's been said, Jesus is a great teacher, but if he's not God, he's not a great teacher. He can never be just a great teacher because he would be one of the most arrogant teachers there ever was. Because he didn't tell you to believe his words. He said, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's arrogance. That's not a good teacher. And the religious leaders despised him. But he is a great teacher because he is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't put your faith in a church. You put your faith in him. You must follow him. So let's take a look now at how God's creation celebrates the sending away of his son who bore the name of Jesus. Verse 26, then he released Barabbas to them, because Barabbas was released because Jesus is the one who's going to be detained and crucified. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Jesus took upon himself the shame, the humiliation, the beating, the judgment, the wrath that should have come upon us. We deserve it. We deserve judgment, but he didn't. And I look at Barabbas. He deserved judgment. He was a notorious criminal. That would be a murderer, an anarchist. I mean, of the highest order, he was a criminal. And they still said, no, let him run around our town. Let him run around our streets rather than that guy, because we are tired of his preaching. We are tired of that message. We don't want him. And so Barabbas was released, and it was a picture of mercy. How you and I deserve to be kept, detained, judged, but we're released, we're let go. And Jesus takes that upon himself. But I wonder, what happened to Barabbas? Did that change his life? Did knowing that change his life? The Bible, the scriptures don't tell us. There's very, very little written in history about Barabbas. But there was a movie written. It's not true, but it's an old classic movie about Barabbas. What might have happened when he was released? Hearing the stories, knowing that he should have been convicted, and it's actually a nice little uplifting story. We don't know exactly what happened, but we're not here to find out what happened to Barabbas. I think we're here to look at a different question. What are you doing as a result of his taking your place? He died for you. He gave his life, and we're going to read how that looked, the whole process today, and what he experienced because he loves you. Here's what he took. We've talked about the cross and you know, hanging there and being nailed to it and what that entails. But what about the scourging? And it's not a good party without a scourging. So what was that like? See, the scourging, there were three levels of scourging in Rome. The first was just beat the guy up. Just give him a good beating and threaten him, verbally abuse him, humble him, and then send him away. And that'd be enough. Put the fear of Rome into them. The second level was, we're going to make them wish they had never done this, and they will never want to do it again. And so they would whip the person. And it was a beating you never forgot. You live through it, but you don't ever want to go through it again. And Rome wasn't as merciful. Paul talked about the 39 minus 1. Several times he received the 39 or the 40 minus 1, 39 lashes. Because the Jews had a rule, 40 lashes at the most. And if they went over, the person who went over, you miscount, then you get lashes. So they would do 40 minus 1. They'd always stay one under just in case they miscounted. So that was that. But Rome had no mercy rule. Rome didn't stop at 39. They did it till they felt like, okay, that's enough. And they had endurance. So the second level, it was tough. A whip across your back, not going up and down, but kind of across, because they had two lictors, two guys, who would come across at an angle on your back to get the most surface area possible. And at times it would even wrap around. Now the third level was for those who were condemned. You're going to die. You're going to the cross. You're going to be condemned in some way. And then they would beat you. And their hope was actually to beat you to death, because they got to do all the work anyway. They're going to pummel you. Then they're going to scourge you. And man, if you live, then they got to go and make sure you're hung on the cross. And they got a lot of work to do. So the earlier we can take you out, the better for us. They'd play games with you. They had the king's game. This wasn't only done to Jesus. There are records that they would play this game with some who thought highly of themselves. And they would take crowns of thorns and stick it and press it upon their heads until the blood ran down their face and mock them. And they played another game. The Jews kind of mimicked it. We read that the Jews had also done this, but the Romans kind of mastered it. And it was, they would blindfold you and tell you to guess who punched them. It was just a game. Who was it? If you guess, then we'll lighten up on you. But whenever the person couldn't guess, they would beat you even harder and see it as justification. Oh, okay, then you're really getting it. And they would beat you. It was just a couple of games at the party. But the scourging for the person who was going to die. They would take the whips, leather straps, And at the end, there'd be several, like a cattail kind of thing, several straps. And at the end, they would tie into the ends bones, dried bones, pieces of bone that were sharp with edges on them, pieces of glass, pieces of metal. And that's what hits your body. And it would wrap around. And when they pulled it out, it would be slashing you. And slashing you, and it's in this angle. And there's two of them, so when one is coming back, then the other's hitting. And it's a beating unlike anything I think your parents ever gave you. Because they know you're dying. And we'd like to kill you right now, if at all possible. Eusebius, a historian, said that many people actually did die from just the lashing, just the scourging alone. And he said that many times, after going through layers of just the flesh and skin, you saw muscle and tissue, and sometimes, if they were hitting just right, if the things were hitting just right, you'd actually begin to see organs. So it's no wonder, as we read in just a moment, that Jesus didn't have the strength to carry his own little beam. He was beat, and he was the wrath of God was poured out upon him, and he took it. You can understand now why he's in the garden going, if there is any other way. But there wasn't. And so he took it. He delivered to be crucified. That was the Roman death penalty. He was mocked. In verse 29, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him. They're mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him, took the reed, struck him on the head. When they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, led him away to be crucified. Now, as they came out, they found a man, Simon by name, a man of Cyrene. Him they compelled to bear the cross. It's not like they urged him. They order you to bear the cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mixed with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. This was a mixture. You know, nothing goes to waste. I mean, we use organs of animals, and you can buy cow tongue and eat everything. Nothing goes to waste, right? That's what they say. Well, nothing goes to waste here either. So this was old wine, usually soured wine. And then to get it to go further, they would mix this vinegar in. And it served a couple of purposes. It would somewhat quench a thirst and create a thirst, like drinking salt water, sort of. It would hasten death, as it was kind of not really good for you, make you sick. But it would also help immediately to start numbing. And Jesus, in tasting this, would not take it. I don't know exactly why, except we know that he wasn't going to take the wine until he took it in the kingdom, for sure. But also, if there were any numbing properties at all, he would want nothing to do with it. Because the goal was not to go through this as easy as he could, but to take it all upon himself. And so he wouldn't even take something that would numb anything. No shortcuts. You know, shortcuts aren't always from the Lord. I know we like things to be easier. We like the easier route, and if we do have something that will ease the pain, make it easier, make it less difficult, trying for us, we want that. But very often, I notice that God doesn't give the shortcut or doesn't want us to take what seems to be a shortcut. He wants us to take the long, trying route because there are lessons we will not learn any other way. It's that perseverance that we're called to. That endurance. We're being built up. You know, you can't go out and every week lift 50 pounds. Use a nice round number, 50 pounds. And bench press 50 pounds. Well, okay, 50 pounds with each arm. How's that? And then, I know my barbells are lighter than yours. But you do that once and then you say, yeah, I worked out. Sounds spiritual, sounds good. But if all you do is always go and lift 50 pounds once a week, you don't build up endurance. You have to push yourself, you know, one more, ah, and you hear them screaming, it's just sounds you never really want to hear unless you're in tights and in a gym, you know. God wants us to learn endurance. And so the short route, the route that seems like it would be easier, isn't necessarily the route that is His will. So marriages get a little tough. And the easy way out is divorce. Or if you're really, really, really just beginning, annulment. That sounds better. Divorce? No, we're annulled. We realized our mistake early. But that's not the way. That's not how the Lord wants us to deal with it, because He's not going to teach or be able to teach you sacrificial love. He's not going to be able to teach you to hang in there and to persevere unless the trials are there. We need them. Peter talked about trials, and he said, it's these trials that prove the genuineness of our faith. We endure them. We try not to bring them on ourselves, although many of us do that. But they're going to come. And when we go through and life isn't handing us things on a silver platter, but it's very difficult. When the week is collapsing and we persevere, we come out the other side and we realize, man, I do trust You. We thought so. We knew so, and we kind of thought so. But when we persevere and we look back at the reward, it's so worth it. But one of the goals is to seek the Lord, to fix our eyes on Him when we cry out, when we're going through the trials. They drive us to our knees. I remember when I was having a real difficult week and I cried out to God, and His word to me was, talk to Ophelia. She wasn't my wife at the time. And if I hadn't cried out to the Lord, but I thought, I'll take this myself, I'll fix it, I'll take care of it, I want the easy course, then I may not be married to my wife right now. And I got to be honest with you. I've seen marriages, my mom and dad. I've seen lots of marriages. I'm glad I did what God wanted me to do, because I feel like I got it easy. My wife doesn't make marriage difficult for me. I'm the bad guy in our marriage, I think. She's not perfect, but I am blessed. If you hang in there, if you do things God's way, if you wait and trust the Lord, listen, you won't make the same foolish mistakes, and you will get what God has for you. Wait. Be patient. Trust the Lord. It seems like a long time, but you know what? Better to have a long time waiting on the Lord in expectation, hopeful. Yes, it's difficult, and a great marriage at the end of life than to marry because you're impatient and have a long, miserable marriage. Don't do it. That would be a scourging in its own right. So, what did Jesus carry? The crown of thorns, the weight of the sin of the world upon Him. He took it all. They spat on Him. They struck His head. They mocked Him. But what couldn't He carry? That beam, the physical cross, the physical beam. And they had a person come in and carry it for Him. And I thought about the responsibility of the believer in terms of the cross. Jesus wasn't weak. Don't look at Him as weak. That was the epitome of strength. That was the model of strength. He wasn't trying to look good and look strong. No, I got it. Because He gave it. He gave it.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, right here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible study at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.